Welcome to the NCCF Teaching Podcast. We trust you'll find this encouraging. Thank you and God bless.
Please grab your Bibles and go with me to Romans 12, verse 1. Romans 12, verse 1. Now, let's listen to the word of the Lord. Therefore, I urge you, brothers, by the mercy of God, present your bodies as living and holy sacrifices, acceptable to God, which is your spiritual service of worship. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, so that you may prove what the will of God is, that which is good, acceptable, and perfect. Father, as we look at your word today, we ask that you would speak to us about renewing our minds and your will. I thank you that your word is alive, it is powerful, is able to pierce the hearts and even restore the soul. I thank you for what you're going to tell us out of your word today. And we want to, first and foremost, bless you, because you really are good, and your mercy does endure forever. So let your word go forth and accomplish what you want to purpose in your heart. In the name of Jesus, amen. Last several times I've been with you, I've intentionally talked to you about spiritual warfare, and I've started the conversation by telling you that spiritual warfare is not something you do. Living a Christian experience is spiritual warfare. Because of that, you don't have to get some angry, aggressive attitude about conducting warfare. Just the simple things you do, like love people, praying, worship. These are things considered warfare. The reason why they are is because you're learning to express good when there's evil. And that's a sense of warfare. Now, when I was with you the last several months, I took time and I talked about the offensive weapons that God has given us for warfare. We looked at the fact that proclaiming God's word over our lives on a daily basis is a form of warfare. And it's not some, I'm not yelling at demons, I'm not being angry at people, I'm just proclaiming God's word over my life. We found out that praise, God perfects strength by praising the Lord. And I learned by praising the Lord that it fortifies my soul so that in a day of evil, I don't lose hope. Then we talked about the idea of our testimony. Looking and communicating our testimony is a form of warfare because it communicates not only the goodness of God to us, but it tells other people, God truly is good. Here's the evidence of it in my life. And then we looked at warfare as being the preaching of the gospel, the good news. What does it mean that there's good news? Those were the offensive weapons that we spent time talking about. And now we're going to talk about what we call, how do you protect yourself from evil? Talk about how to go after it. How do you protect yourself? So now we're talking about the weapons of protection, and instead of following like the normal list that everybody does, I decided I'm going to mix it up a little bit. So today we're going to talk about the helmet of salvation. What is the helmet of salvation? Now you pull out your Bibles either electronically or physically, and we're going to go look at another passage. So if you join me here quickly, my thing would respond. And it is 1 Thessalonians 5:8. 1 Thessalonians 5:8. And it's very important to understand, and when we talk about armor, the armor of God, as Paul talks about it in Ephesians chapter 6, this is where we get the idea of protective armor. We need to understand that they're using the Roman warfare gear. Paul is using that as a form of illustrating this idea. I've heard people teach on the armor of God, and they talk about putting it on daily, like literally, like they're putting on some kind of armor. I don't really have a problem with that, but I don't think the scripture was talking about somehow trying to grab something that's non-physical and put it on you. It's more of an attitude and how I live my life and how I think. Now, the whole idea of warfare or protection is this. Because of the way the world is in its fallen state, there's the issue of evil that you and I are encountering, whether we want to or not. Because of what Jesus has done on the cross, And because of Him living inside of you and you becoming a new creation, that means that He who lives in you is overcoming. And He's wanting you to learn how to live in that lifestyle of addressing evil with good. And so when we talk about the armor of God, we're not so much talking about technique, we're talking about how do we actually deal with evil inside our own soul when it comes to it, so that we can respond to it properly to where it doesn't bring us depression or discouragement or passivity or just a hopeless lifestyle that doesn't feel like it's going anywhere. Most of the battle is going on in the mind. And most of the defeat happens before we ever do an action. It's how we think about things. And because Jesus overcame the world, He can show us the steps to overcome the world also. And part of overcoming a world that has fallen is learning how to respond when evil comes to mind.
That's right.
So now let's look at 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 6. Let's see how the scripture addresses this. It says, "But since we are of the day, let us be sober, having put on the breastplate of faith and love." That's a different translation than what it says in Ephesians. It says, "And as a helmet, the hope of salvation." So now, when we say the helmet of salvation, here Paul is actually adding a word to it in Thessalonians. It's very important because it's going to give us the key to deal with the thoughts of our mind. You know, Jesus faced basically the same things that we do on this planet, and yet it tells us in Scripture that He overcame it. So how did the process of this start working in His thoughts? He actually is kind enough to begin to describe this to us by just how He addressed the problem of evil and talked about how to respond to it. Now, Paul is actually picking that up, and he's saying, well, what we see from the life of Jesus is Jesus wasn't only a man full of joy, He was a man that constantly lived in the arena of hope. Now, several months ago, maybe over a year ago, when I was teaching on hope, I was trying to give a picture that biblical hope is different than the hope of the system of the world. Why is that? The system of the world, they have hope and things that never mature or satisfy either their physical life or their soulish life. And so it's called vain hope. It's an expectation, as the scripture says, that comes to nothing. And in fact, the Bible, one of the Proverbs, it actually says that the hope of the wicked comes into vain expectation, and it will ruin them. But the hope of the righteous will satisfy and nurture the soul.
Yes.
Now, that's very interesting. The Bible is saying, now, as you and I live in this world, the Bible believes that we are supposed to be filling our mind full of hope continually, and that's a response of good towards evil. But let me take a moment and just address what evil thoughts look like. Now, this is an exhaustive thing. This is just me sitting over there and kind of going over it before I got up here. But one of them, we realize, is anxiety. Another one is fear. Another one is worry. Another one is this term they call evil forebodings, where you expect the future to be nothing but terrible. Those are what we would call the thoughts that Paul is trying to address here, that he says, basically, living in a fallen world and dealing with the enemy, these are the thoughts that come to you. Fear. Now, what's really interesting is when we come to this idea, it's saying that in response to all those thought patterns, you have to learn to respond by training your mind to respond by filling it full of hope when these thoughts come to you. Tell me if you guys have been like me. Sometimes the finances don't work out and a pattern starts coming through my mind. Oh, no. I don't have money for this. That means that they're going to turn off my electricity. Stop picking up my garbage. I'm not going to have any heat in the house. And then the banks are going to foreclose on me. And then before I know it, somehow, in my thought pattern, my wife and I are living in the street before throwing mud at us. You guys ever done that? Or in a weak moment, you you wake up or something happens and you get what we call a rush of anxiety about what's going to happen to you in the future. What if God's faithful to me now, but there's something that's going to happen where the future isn't going to be good and just terrible things are going to happen? One of the holidays, someone said something I thought was really good. They were talking about, C.S. Lewis talking about looking at the future. And C.S. Lewis said, most people never think about the future properly. He said, in his view, because people don't face their future, they live in anxiety of it most of the time. And what he meant by that was, the reason why we're afraid of the future is we believe that the God who is with us now, who helps us resolve all our problems, won't go with us into the future. There's a false sense that we believe that God isn't going to be the same God he's always been, even in the future. And the enemy uses that against us to tell us, you know, in the future God's not going to take care of you. In the future God's not going to be there. In the future you have nothing to trust. And yet, C.S. Lewis believed that if you just think through it and say, no, wait a minute, has God been with me up to this point? If he's with me at this point, will he not also be with me through everything that I go through in life? And the answer is yes. And so he said we have to learn to face the future and have hope as we think about it. So how do we fill ourselves with hope? The Bible is pretty straightforward where it comes to you and I and it says, now hope revolves around a concept called the promises of God. So the promises of God have been given to us, and I find fascinating, I make jokes about the promises of God. When I did studies on the promises of God, I found out there was only 3,753 promises in the Bible for Jesus. Isn't that interesting? Only 3,753 promises. That means that pretty much everything that could ever happen to you as a human being on this side of eternity, God has given a promise to you of his intervention and solution in that situation. And he actually believes that his word is so powerful that you can actually begin to transform your mind when a thought comes that God's not going to be there. You can end up reaffirming a promise to yourself that will get that thought to leave you. I find that rehearsing and developing the promises and the thought patterns of the promises of God in my life dispels discouragement, fear, and evil foreboding for the future. In fact, I actually have, you guys ready for this? This will hopefully encourage you. I have on my mirror 10 scriptures, and I actually look at them every day, and I speak them to myself just to give what I call a vitamin of hope. Just get ready to go into the future. Now, why do I do that? Because the Bible is pretty straightforward that some things God will do where he'll just deliver you, and then some things he requires of you. And one of the things he requires of you is to begin to put in your heart intentionally. It's like a treasure. Put in your heart intentionally good things so that it will fortify you. Your thoughts will become the way God wants you to think. You'll start being this interesting thing called a dynamic Christian, so that when people get around you, they expect hope to come from you instead of us following the pattern of the world. Now, I don't know if you guys are like I am. I've followed the pattern of the world for a long period of time and just been in despair and anxiety just like everybody else, and I don't know if you're like me, but I'd like to be different. And I actually like to go through a crisis and say, hey, you know what? I don't know how this is going to work out, but I can trust God and I can be at peace. So, the Bible is pretty straightforward and very encouraging to say, practice hope daily. Practice the promises of God daily. It's, in a sense, like lifting weights for your mind. As you do it, you become stronger and stronger, and so every obstacle, the proper response comes to it. Now, if you're like me, when I first heard this, I used to think, you're saying that Christianity is about living in denial of what's really going on? That's the false sense of hope that the world embraces. The true sense of hope isn't. It's not that I don't see what's going on. It's that God is in the midst of it. And that's where my hope comes from. I might not know how to answer the problem, but I know the person that's in the midst of the problem with me, and I know that either he does it physically or he does it in my soul, I will be delivered because of who he is. And that's where mind hope comes from. But I need to get my mind to come into alignment with that so that I can be full of hope. I had the funnest weekend this weekend because for some odd reason, since I've landed in Denver, which I actually couldn't come out when I planned to because you guys had a blizzard, and we had a blizzard, so I couldn't get to the airport, and I couldn't fly here, and I couldn't have done anything about it anyway. So that's how my trip started. And through this whole entire weekend, one bad thing has been happening to me after another. My laptop fell on the floor, and it destroyed my hard drive, so I'm without my computer. Well, that's my mobile office. That's how I do everything. So I'm just sitting around going, hey. I can't do anything. And then I'm driving down the highway, and a truck knocks a rock up in the air, and I have a rental car, and it just breaks the windshield. And I'm just like, yes! And then I couldn't make it up Duncan's driveway. I went deeper when that happened. Cliffs, sick on the road. One thing after another. Now, it's not like I don't have these problems, and you guys don't have these problems, but this has been the most exciting trip for me for one reason. You think I'm kidding when I'm saying, but listen to me. I have intentionally, since I've been teaching on this with you guys, intentionally making sure that I'm applying this into my life and I'm actually enjoying all of this time. Where I've spent over a decade being, how am I going to resolve? How am I going to resolve this broken windshield? Now I'm going to have to pay for that. I mean, you guys understand this is life, and I never face it full of hope. Like, I'll take care of all this stuff. Why worry about it when you can't gain anything from worry? So it's been, you're going, so are you dreadful what's going to happen to you when you get in the car and head back up to Denver? No, I'm actually looking forward to it. Yeah. Because I finally, in a sense, have realized the key here. There is a proper response to the things that happen to you, and God can mature you into such a place where you look at it and you almost get an attitude of joy that you get to go through it because you can learn to find it. To actually fill your heart full of hope. And once you reach that place, it almost sounds like I'm trying to talk you into trying a new restaurant or something, but once you reach that place, think about this with me. Once you learn the steps of putting hope in you and you realize it works, you never lose ground in that area again. You become strong, which is what the Lord wants you to be. I look at the ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ, and you're probably like me. I marvel at his response to stuff. I marvel at the fact that he can have thousands of people pressing him, people threatening to kill him all the time, and yet he can be very at peace, very focused, and know how to just live a life of joy in the midst of what I call just absolute chaos. I want to be like him. I want to be like this. I want to be in a place where I can be strong and trust in the Lord and also be at peace in my mind as thoughts are coming in going on. Now, I'm going to give you one promise that God has given me as a foundation, and hopefully this will help you as you face this. As you and I go through different things in life, we have to ask a greater question. What's the purpose of this thing that I'm going through? Is there a purpose? In fact, a lot of people that I talk to as they travel, they say things like, I really don't know why. I don't know why that thing happened to me. It was awful. I don't understand it. Anything good can come from it. And what it does is, as they go through whatever experience they're talking about, it makes them lose a sense of confidence in God and lose a sense of confidence that anything good or redemptive can come from bad experiences. And so, this is foundational. Most Christians' houses I go to, they have this on their wall. So I realize that God has spoken to a lot of us about this. But let's turn real quick to Romans chapter 8, verse 20. Almost like that. And some of you that have memorized this, you already know what I'm going to say. But this is what I would call a foundational scripture of placing hope inside of you. Especially when life doesn't seem to make sense. It says this, and we know that God causes all things to work together for good. For those who love God. To those who are called according to his purpose. So we know that God causes all things to work together for good. Doesn't mean a bad thing is good in God's eyes. He's not trying to switch it. He's trying to say bad things can happen. But you need to realize that because God is good, we need to turn it towards good. And so you have to begin to affirm yourself. God is good. He is going to turn us to good. Now, most people don't really like admitting this, but I actually enjoy getting older in the Lord. And the reason I have is after you live a certain number of years on the planet and you walk with the Lord, you begin to not just hope His Word's true, but you've lived it long enough where you can see that it is true. And what happens is not only can you encourage people that are just starting with the Lord, but it assures people everywhere that observes your life that God's Word is what Chris talked about in the worship song. He's eternal. He does not change, and He's showing that through your life, that He can be trusted. I often, I don't know if you guys are like I am, but I often think about what people are going to say when I'm done on this time in, on the planet. How are they going to describe me as a Christian? For years, my main focus was to see how many people I could get healed after I prayed for them. So I was trying to reach 100,000. So people would have my grace, I could go, well, he prayed for 100,000 people on the bed. And as I got older, I realized, you know, I love the ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ. I've watched Him do incredibly powerful things. But when I'm by myself, that's not what I think about. What do people really think about if I pass? And I've realized that what I want Him to take away from my life is He just wasn't shaken. No matter what He went through, He could trust the Lord. I want my children to rise up. I don't know if they'll do this. I'm never going to tell them this. But I hope they rise up at my funeral and say, my dad just was never shaken. It didn't matter what we went through, He showed us the character of the Lord. Now, are you guys like me? Let's turn our hearts towards the Lord for a moment, because we're going to ask God to begin to develop hope in our lives or restore it. Now, one is a practice, another is an effect of His embrace in our soul. So we're going to ask for both of those. And then I'm going to share some words with you that the Lord wants me to this morning. Lord Jesus Christ, we come to You now. And we see what You're like. And we see the gap between us and You. So what You require of us, You have to give us grace to get there. Would You come now to each one of us? And would You begin the process of strengthening our souls? Anywhere where we've embraced a pattern of thought that's locked into our emotions where we just don't believe good is going to be in a certain area of our life, would You bring Your healing presence over that experience? And would You begin to wash us with, cleanse us, and restore us? Lord, if we're afraid of the future, if we don't have hope for even this afternoon or tomorrow, You can overcome that inside of us. But it's something You have to do. Come to us. Love on us, Lord. We welcome You to restore us and bring our mind to a place of rest. And now, if you want to, you can agree with me in a prayer that I'm going to pray. Lord, I turn my thoughts over to You. And I ask that You become Lord over how I think. And that my body would be given to You, my mind would be given to You as a living sacrifice. Let what I think upon become pleasing in Your sight. And I bless You. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ.
We hope you enjoyed the podcast. If you have any questions, please drop us a line at nccfcolorado@mac.com.